Hello, Chris.
Hi, Christina.
How are you?
Oh, man. Long time no see.
I know.
Oh.
Been okay?
Been
What's been
okay.
going?
You see, I'm not wearing glasses. I had cataract surgery, so.
Fun.
Good.
So now I'm exploring eye makeup once again.
Yeah, I always tell my glass wearing friends that they get away with their eyes and the way they look with glasses. So you just get these little bright foo-foo glasses and everyone thinks you're all dressed up.
I'm
Oh,
glad to not have to wear them.
yeah.
I'm going in for another cataract surgery on Wednesday, so hopefully I'll be there for Thursday.
You've had it in one already?
I have had it twice in one eye.
Wow.
Yeah, I grew
Oh,
it back and they had to do it again. And now I'll
yeah.
have it done in the other eye.
Are you a blue-eyed person?
Yeah.
Yeah. In
Is
fact,
that
all my
why?
blue-eyed friends have mostly had cataract surgery.
Yeah.
So, but you got dark brown eyes, Christina.
Well, I'm hoping I have no problem.
It shouldn't be. The other ones went very easily, so
Oh, are we recording or paused?
already they said we were recording already.
Oh,
You want me to pause it? I think I can.
Might as well. They're not people on yet. We have 2 more minutes.
Or I could.
Oh.
Nope.
We were just gonna gossip a little while.
We can gossip. Okay, let me.
This is the Waste Diversion Collections and Education Subcommittee of the Environmental Services Advisory Committee. Today is Wednesday, April 6, 2022. The time is 3:03, and we can do. I would like to call the meeting to order. I'm Margo Garcia, and we have
And I'm Chris Yarder, present.
present. So we have 2 out of the 3 people present. So we have a quorum. We have a number of staff present: Christina Polesgrove, Brittany Aldridge, and Lori Pumphrey. And I'm sure some others will be joining us. We have 2 sets of minutes, one from the December 1st meeting and the other one from November 3rd. I looked them over. They looked fine to me. Are there any other?
Well, I just wanted to make a correction.
Okay.
And I don't know if Luis knew this or not, but Nicole Gillette is not a certified arborist. The city of Tucson has 0 certified arborists, ISA certified.
Okay,
So
so Nicole, this would be on the
that's
November 3rd meeting,
to
alley
November
maintenance,
3rd.
and it's just from the Urban Forestry Department,
Yeah,
and
Nicole, I
remove.
asked her in February, so she doesn't.
Okay, so Nicole Gillette from the Urban Forestry Department has spent some time educating employees. So remove is a certified arborist who.
Right.
Okay. And the Urban Forestry Department is, it's not actually a department. We don't have such a department, I don't think.
She did a big presentation at the mayor and council study session. So you could just, I don't know, just call her the urban forester.
Okay, so take out
Urban
the from.
forester Nicole Gillette.
Okay, Nicole Gillette, the urban forester, has spent some time educating. All right.
Let me look her up and see what her title is. Okay.
Geez, I just, I printed out from the it's urban, it's the urban forestry program, I think. It's
That's what I
called
remember.
the City of Tucson Urban Forestry Program.
Okay.
Yeah, because they did a good presentation Tuesday during the study session.
The COT, Urban Forestry Program.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see.
Has spent it's some time. Seven. Okay.
She is the Urban Forestry Program Manager.
Okay.
Okay.
So we can add that, or we can just do it from the Urban Forestry Program. Spent some time educating select employees from the tree trimming crew. So that's the way we'd like the.
Yeah, I don't know how many people they have in that.
Well, just
program.
Okay.
And I didn't see anything for the December.
Okay, so that would be the change in November.
Yeah.
December is okay. So let's do them separately. November, we have the correction so that on the back of under alley maintenance, it would read Nicole Gillette from the Urban Forestry Program has spent some time educating select employees from the tree trimming crew. It's probably selected rather than select. All right, with that correction, is there anything else? Hearing no objections, those minutes are approved. And the other one is December 1st. Does anyone have any corrections for those?
Except as written.
All right, without objection, the minutes are accepted for December the 1st. All right, the chairperson's report. Let's see, besides the draft annual report, which I don't get find, of course, I did want to say that there was a article about the San Francisco bottle recycling program. And what they have done is because, California has, you get money back for both cans and bottles, and those programs where people could collect the money have been shut down. Instead, they were going around with a van to pick these up. And they put them into bags and people were putting them out. But of course, the problem is the people who are going to get the money back usually are people who go around and collect them, like people who are homeless and other folks. And so they aren't going to be able to get them the same way. And then they have to find the trucks in order to turn them in because previously they were stationary sites where they get turned these in. And they said this was all passed by the people who were with the Grocery Association because the Grocery Association grocery stores didn't want to have to deal with them anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore.
Right. So they are saying this pilot program is horrible. And so it's just a warning to us if our grocery stores start pushing for this. Of course, we don't have a return. So we don't have quite the same issue. All right. And the other was my draft annual report, which I can't find my copy of right at the moment. Did anybody read it and have any comments?
Did you want to add some of those code enforcement statistics that Lori sent?
Yeah, I thought I would. Yes.
And Lori, are you on right now?
Oh, Yolanda has joined us.
Oh, so hi, Yolanda.
Hi, Yolanda. Good to see you.
So, Lori, all during 2021, you only had 9 code inspectors, right? Because Bigman was given to B&B.
So, yeah, I think more or less that's true. It could be 10. I mean, we have one person who's been out on medical for a while, since January. So I think we're at 9 right now without Colleen.
Well, I meant like for 2021, for our yearly report, our annual report.
I think without Colleen, I think 10 would be an appropriate number.
Okay.
All right, someone there, I think Brittany is putting, has put it up in the share. Let's see, where did I talk about? Keep going, I think, to get to the code enforcement section.
It's the last page.
Page, yeah, okay.
Yeah, up at the top.
Oh, it is, with very few inspectors. So we'll I'll change that to has 10, 9 to 10 inspectors.
Were two of them new ones hired and trained in 2021, Lori?
At the beginning of the year.
Right.
We had hired two, January 2021, they started.
Okay.
One of them left and one of them passed probation and is still employed with us.
Okay. So that was in January of 2021. Okay.
Right.
So we did, two new ones were hired and trained. Then I had about Intergov. I was then going to add about the number of cases that were in, had been, Chris sent me the number of cases and so forth.
Yeah, well, I got those from Lori.
Okay. So Lori knows those. So I will put those into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to update?
Yolanda, we're looking, did you see the draft that Margot put together for this subcommittee for the annual report? Oh, can't hear you.
Yolanda, she's on her phone.
Oh. Okay, here we are.
Yeah.
I don't think that I had an opportunity to read the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Well, is your plan, Chris, to try to have the whole thing put together for Wednesday, Thursday's meeting? Or?
My plan is to try to have a rough draft. But like I said, I don't really have much to put for the engineering department because, Bill left.
Well, you know what I did? I went to the LAR reports.
Yeah,
just
but
took it out of that.
I didn't see one for them. So,
are you sure? Did you go down quite far? Because they put them below the rest.
Okay, I'll keep looking.
Yeah, go look. That's what I went to and used for building my report. Was the LAR reports, and that's easy than going through my files. I mean, I did then go through my files and verify a few of the discussions, but.
Well, I took notes when Bill gave a quick report during the ESAC meeting, but I wanted to get something more in depth, so.
Well, if you need help, I can look at the LAR report.
Oh, I can find it, don't worry.
Okay, all right. Okay, if you guys haven't got anything else and the staff doesn't having heartburn over all the stuff I said,
Nobody's screaming yet.
I must be okay. All right. And we'll I'll update the code enforcement section. I'm sorry?
I said we're all on mute.
Oh, we're just all on mute.
Okay.
Oh, that's why you can't hear the screaming. All right.
Well, you're just talking about us in your office. That's what you're doing.
Okay. Well, if you have anything you have heartburn over, let me know and I'll try to work on that. All right, and I'll add the materials in about the code inspection numbers. I do think they're impressive. All right, on to, you said Pat wanted us to skip over 5 and go down a little, jump to 6?
Yes.
Okay, you will jump over 5 and go to 6, Christina.
Okay, so on the latest MRF report, let me see if I can.
Oh, yes.
That.
Oh, you're going to do the MRF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Share my screen.
What a difference.
Yeah.
Some of the prices are amazingly changed. I couldn't get over what happened to the HDPE and the
OMP and the plastic.
The plastics dropped way down and the aluminum went back. I mean, the aluminum is up at 1600 a ton and the baskets are down to 900, and they've been higher than the aluminum.
Yeah, the HDPE had been very high, like up to $2,000 a ton, and now it's dropped back down. Our contamination still hovering at close to 30%, so that is just not helpful to us.
So what about this thing of the left recyclables, which is it's supposed to be less than 5%? What's happening with that?
Well, I will tell you that we brought that up to them, and they calculated a little differently than we have. And so we have to come to some agreement. But I guess what I will say is that we are in, so the amendment that we, to the contract that we had gone into a couple of years ago, I guess 4 years, that is coming due to expire. And that's where all these kind of clauses about, you know, the ACR having to be a minimum of $85, or we had to pay the difference, and the $49 a ton. So we are meeting internally to go over, you know, we went and reviewed the contract to see where things are not being done, or there are things that we have questions about, because we're not sure if they've been, you know, there's just stuff that hadn't really been done because everybody was okay with how much money we were getting. And so we've gone back, we've reviewed the contract, and we're going to be working with procurement so that as this current amendment expires, we, you know, either revert back to the original agreement, or we have to renegotiate some new amendments. But I think that, you know, either way, it's going to be helpful to us, because, you know, we'll be really pushing, you know, for some of the things that we feel are important in terms of, you know, the audit procedures, that penalty clause. You know, we just want to have a better understanding and an agreement on how we're going to exercise that. So that's where we are right now. But I believe the current amendment expires at the end of this month. I know we asked for to extend it a little bit so that we have time to go back and renegotiate, figure out how we want to approach this renegotiation.
So to extend, say, for a couple of months, as long as that, would that be the end of December or sooner than that?
I think sooner than that.
Okay, like September 1 or something?
Actually, Carlos wanted it to be for 30 days. Pat wanted it to be till June 30th, because it seems to make sense that if we have until June 30th, we can renegotiate and just be ready to go right into the new fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That does make sense. What about the money for the education? Is anything happening in education?
Well, I mean, I will tell you that in the last, I don't actually see the money for education. Yeah. It just goes into, you know, the overall budget for this stuff. But we have a contract with the Environmental Education Exchange for $75,000 a year. I just met with them on Monday, and in the last year, they did 195 elementary school presentations live and 30 Zoomcast, and then they did about 70 for the middle school program and about 20 of the Zoomcast for those, and we've always pushed those, you know, at a lower number, just there's fewer middle school classes. Mm-hmm. There, one of the issues, and Chris, I'm sure you've heard this, a lot of the teachers that they had been working with for many, many years are leaving.
They retired.
They retired. Yeah. And so now they're having to rebuild those relationships and let the teachers know that we have this available.
Teaching's in a bad place after the pandemic, so.
Yeah, we're still doing a lot of them. They were telling me they have a contract with Queen Creek and the number of presentations that they're contracted to do, they weren't able to meet it by like 50%. They dropped. Huh. And again, they're all new teachers.
So did you say Cave Creek? Is that what I understood you to say?
Queen Creek.
Queen Creek, sorry.
That's way, where is that? That's way.
It's up in Phoenix area.
North of Phoenix.
Phoenix right? area. It's between Phoenix and Florence.
Yeah, it's in the southeast.
Okay.
It's the Queen, I know it because Cave it's Creek Queen Creek north. Watershed. Okay. I know the watershed, so. Yeah,
it's still a very agricultural,
rural agricultural area.
Knowing that there's still a lot there.
Yeah. So this large number that they did, the 195, that was last school year, I guess.
I think that's this year to date. So okay. We still have some room to do more.
So, I mean, speaking to them, I think they're top notch. So,
They really are. And one of the things we did during all the closure when we couldn't get into classrooms, we actually went ahead and said, you know, spend money, but we developed these activity booklets and some videos that people can, we gave them, you know, to the schools and the teachers to give to the students. And we've had a lot of really good interaction and engagement with those as well. And it was with the idea that, you know, this was a way for us to reach students at home, mm-hmm. but it was also something that as we move forward and we can go to classrooms, we don't have enough money to go into all the classrooms that want us. So this is an option. Mm-hmm. So they can still get the information, whether it's through the activity booklet and the videos or in the schools.
So do they have teacher guides that yes. go with those? So that's good.
Super. What a good thing to do with the funding that was already there.
Yeah, we
on a good solution. Yeah. Because otherwise the development time, which we know takes time and money to develop
right.
curriculum and materials, they aren't really getting paid for it. So this was a great solution to give mm-hmm. them a little breathing room on that.
I've actually asked them, Phoenix has a really nice web page for kids. And so I've asked them to look at that and see if there's some ways that we can put some engaging activities online. Mm-hmm.
Can we do? Nice. Super. All right, you wanted to announce a zero waste day? Recycle?
Yes, so April 16th at the Thomas O. Price Service Center, we are hosting a zero waste collection event. We are collecting lots of things, but the main things that we're doing is we're having shredding. Evolve, which used to be Rise, is going to be collecting e-waste. Beacon Group is doing shredding. Goodwill will be collecting textiles, clothing, and small home goods. Recycle will be doing scrap metal. Bookman's is going to be collecting books. So if you have books, that'd be great. Let's see, Cerro Tucson is going to be collecting like prescription bottles and the go-to utensils that you get wrapped in plastic, and some other things. And I think the big things though is going to be the things that we always get asked for is the shredding, the e-waste, the textiles, and the prescriptions.
Yeah. So the TPD you said will be there for the prescription drugs.
Yes.
Super.
Very nice. Good. I know. And what time does that start?
That's going to run from 9 to 1.
9 to 1.
It's been a really great partnership. So all of the vendors I mentioned are sponsors. Chapman Auto is great. They sponsored the lunch for the volunteers. TEP is going to have volunteers there to help us, like 15 of them. Pima County donated some money and did the printing of the posters. So it's just been a real true partnership, and it's great because everybody's been wonderful.
Super. Is it going to get some newspaper publicity? And
well, I don't know. I did actually reach out to Christopher Conover because he's done a couple of stories recently, and I thought maybe he would want to do something like this, but I will be sending out a news release here shortly.
And then you put something in Neighborhood Nugget?
I'm going to send that to Neighborhood Nuggets. Right. And also all the partners are promoting it through their social media. TCB has been great. So yeah, everybody's promoting it the best way. And I'm hearing from people that they know about it. You know, people are reaching out to me and saying, hey, I heard about this. You know, can we do this?
Right. Okay.
And actually, Cerro, which is a zero waste store, we hadn't actually thought of them. And they reached out to me and said, we heard about it. We'd like to be there. Here's what we can collect.
What, who is the zero waste store?
It's called Cerro, C-E-R-O. I guess they're located on Tucson Boulevard, just south of Broadway. And they sell things that are, zero waste. Like you can purchase shampoo and things like that in bulk. You bring your own container. But they collect a lot of stuff too that they reuse. And they are asking for the to-go utensils that come in plastic and the prescription bottles and some other things too. But I think those are the things that are, razor blades, stuff like that. But, and writing utensils, that's a big one.
They probably have a lot of them. They don't work anymore
and they're going to recycle them.
How do they do that? They just melt down the plastic?
Well, I don't know that they do it. They might be working with TerraCycle, who does it.
Oh, boy, I just tossed mine. Boy, that's good to know. Here in this climate, they go out so
fast. Yeah, and they're near you, too.
Yeah, they certainly are. They're very near me. Huh. Well, terrific. Well, that sounds like a big event. I hope the line doesn't go around the block twice or something. How are you going to feed them in? What road are you taking them in on?
So they're going to come in to, the main entrance that's kind of between the two lots. The collection will mainly be in the upper lot. So that leaves the lower lot free. So if we want to queue people through there, we can.
Okay. The upper lot means the lot that we park in when you go to pay your bill, water bill, or we used to enter the door.
The lower lot, that's the one closest to the building, because you go down.
Okay, so the upper lot one is behind it, to the left, as you went. Okay.
Yeah, so right, so between Ward 5 and our offices, kind of.
Okay.
And we are going to have police there to direct traffic, just in case. Because I don't know if you all heard, but the January HHW at the east side, people, I a friend of mine told me he waited an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. I saw the line and I quit. I left. I had all the bunch of stuff I wanted to take. And when I saw it way back up on Speedway.
It went all the way from where the entrance is to Speedway, which is about half a mile, and then all the way down Speedway to the east past Pantano.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was horrendous. As I say, yeah. I was a chicken and I gave up because I had other things to do.
Well, we're having another one this weekend at Jacobs Park.
Okay.
So
I will try again. I'm still carrying around my stuff.
Yeah. See if you can go Saturday.
Yeah.
And you know you can always go to the landfill Thursday.
I know. It's just so far.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's also TreeCycle on here. How did TreeCycle do this year?
You know, it did fine. It's hard to give you data because they don't weigh it and they don't count them. It kind of gets picked up like the brush and bulky crew when they're out, they go by the sites and they just load up whatever's there.
And has it been chipped or what's happened to the trees?
It's being composted.
Oh, okay. So they're chipping it before they're composting.
Right.
Okay. Were there any fires, anything notable this year?
No, I don't think so. I didn't hear anything. We did have a fire this past weekend at the landfill.
Oh.
But nothing with TreeCycle.
Nothing with TreeCycle. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
We will be at Earth Day at the Children's Museum on the 23rd. That was kind of why we planned the event for the week before, so that we wouldn't have a conflict.
Okay. And what's happening? The usual suspects are coming to that, or what's happening?
Well, you know, as far as what we're doing, Republic is going to provide us with some bales that we can display. And we have, I actually have this new thing I've been doing. I've been doing some presentations to small groups, and I have developed an online quiz that people, you know, they scan the QR code, they take the quiz online. It's like 10, 11 questions. And, you know, so I actually just did a training with a group of employees at Highwire. It's a restaurant and bar downtown, and they had about 30 people there. And they're, you know, the owner is very interested in having the business be more sustainable and environmentally conscious. So he had us do a presentation to all the employees, and I did the quiz, and we gave some prizes, and they were really engaged and very receptive. So I'm really hoping, and that was something I wanted to do when right before the pandemic started. That was kind of the plan, and then everything shut down. So
you're up to doing those things again, so we can put out the word that you want a great speaker, and by Christina.
Yes.
Okay.
And also, I'm on the board of the Arizona Recycling Coalition now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have an event here on June 3rd that anybody can go to. There will be a cost. But I believe Carlos is going to be presenting about the Los Reales Sustainability Campus, and can hear from some other, you know, there will be other presentations involved. Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. Well, we'll hope you'll be able to present on Zero Waste Day as being an overwhelming success.
Now I got this.
Tons taken out of the landfill. So will you do some data on that, Arizona? Will you ask me to
estimate or? For the Zero Waste Day, we'll definitely count the participants, but then also each of the vendors will give us their what they collected.
Okay. Good. Very good. All right, anybody else have questions for Christina? No? All right, Christina, anything more you wanted to add?
I think that's it, although Pat and I are gonna hear some presentations from students tonight about what they came up with in terms of how to reduce contamination, U of A student. Yeah.
Oh, that's great good. Students,
cool. All right, well, we wanna report next time to
okay.
What they had to say. Mr. Pat Tapia, we jumped over you and from collections at your request, so we would love to have you give us a report at this time.
Hey, Pat.
Hi, everyone.
Good Hi, everyone. You.
Afternoon. Sorry, I'm running late. I was we're doing a quick tour of Tucson with we have a new deputy director that started with our department today for the facility side. So I'll give you a quick tour of some of the sites we have as far as the ward office. So I apologize for running late.
No problem. You're doing important work.
So I think I might
they're a little hard to hear. So I don't know if you need to get closer or something. Can't hear you at all now if you're talking.
No, I wasn't. How about now? So
in again and see if that helps.
That helps a lot.
Good. Yeah.
Better? Okay. Yeah. So it looks like we have the MRF contract. So we're in the process of working with the MRF. I don't know if Christina kind of covered this already a little bit, but we're actually extended the current contract that we have with the MRF because we wanted to make some changes to the current contract. It actually, the 3-year agreement that we had originally set up for with the amendment to the old contract was expiring at the end of this month. We elected to go ahead and extend it for another 2 more months. And that's because we are reviewing all the amendments. So we have a bunch of amendments. We're on amendment, I want to say 6 or 7. Christina, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think we're like on amendment 6. So we're going to actually get them all together. And Republic is in line with this as well, because there's been so many changes across the board. As to, okay, let's just go back, put together an amendment, and this would carry us for the next 5 years till the end of the contract. The end of the agreement is in, I want to say, of June of 26 or 27 is when actually the contract ends with Republic. So we're reviewing it right now. We want to make some changes. We're reviewing the audit process. We're reviewing the ACR, which is the average commodity rate we do a profit share with them. We're going to be reviewing that as well and try to reach an agreement that actually is benefits both of us. So we'll find my connection isn't that great. Hopefully I didn't lose you guys. Am I still there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we can actually have a happy medium there where everyone's working for both parties. Because right now, I think, you know, I'm sure Republic at one point thought the city was benefiting the whole time. And then when we went into the sword issue of losing revenues, it switched over and Republic felt that they were losing everything. And now we're not happy about it, that we're paying for everything. So we need to find that happy medium where we're both feel being a partnership in this program. And that we're both benefiting, where we're both paying into it, and we're both receiving. So we're not receiving a good payback as far as the agreement that we currently have. That's why we're going to renegotiate that contract. So I think next month we'll be able to report back to you, because we'll be meeting with Republic in the next 2 weeks to report back what that agreement is looking like. Go ahead.
Can you, well, you know, one of the questions has been this residual or the trash that goes off at the end and the amount of recyclables that they missed in there. Will that be one of the top topics?
How we can improve that residual that's going in there? because let me see, I think Christina already gave a report on the actual.
We can't hear you. I can't hear you.
We lost you again.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting a bad connection. I don't know why.
Okay.
How about now?
That's okay.
Okay. So, no, no, I'm back.
Okay, keep talking.
This is the fun part of this. Hopefully we can meet in person next month if everyone's willing to do so. I don't know if you can hear me now.
You've gotten fainter again.
You faded again. Can you crank up your sound?
Let me try that, see if that helps. Yeah, if you don't mind. I don't know why it's not working good in here. I think Brittany is set up in the conference room. You can go over there and talk.
Okay. Do you want us to skip ahead to code enforcement and come back to you? Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
That's weird, huh?
Yeah, that is funny. I think what we'll do then is we'll come back to you after Pat, after you see if you can move to the other room. Okay. Lori, do you want to pick up on code enforcement?
Absolutely. Can everyone hear me?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so going off the revised agenda, I see here two bullet points. So first, code enforcement customer service training. I wasn't present at the last meeting, but we are, I'll just talk about customer service in general. We have a customer service agent that actually took another job, a promotion somewhere. So we're going to have a vacant spot there, and we hopefully will fill that very soon. So we're running about three people right now in customer service, but we are all caught up. You know, training is not, well, there's always ongoing training, but right now everybody's fully trained, fully staffed. The second bullet point, absentee landlord. I'm not sure what this was referring to, but what I will talk about is we have a new project we're working on with the attorney's office, like a foreclosure process. So on a nuisance property, so maybe an absentee owner on a property, we're trying to develop a process by which if we have a lien or something like that on a property, we might be able to start a foreclosure process, or at least in starting to do it, it would maybe catch the owner's attention. Well, either they'll sell it, pay off the liens, or do something with the property. So, like I said, that's still in the works, but it's going to be a great tool for us really to kind of start to compel owners to make, you know, some sort of change, especially on these properties that time and time again, they're nuisance. And InterGov, I was going to add something about InterGov, which is the new program we're going to be switching to. I had an update a few weeks ago. From the project manager, and right now they're looking at probably the beginning of August. They're shooting for a go live date.
Lori, I don't mean to interrupt, but I had a question on the absentee landlord issue.
Okay.
If there is a renter in there, what happens to them? Do they get evicted and then they're homeless?
No, and I'm not talking about occupied structures, because you know, maybe I kind of misunderstood what that topic was about since I wasn't here at the last meeting. But we don't we don't necessarily have a program that refers to absentee landlords, but we do inspections called minimum housing, in which we will take the landlords to court, the owners of rentals who are not complying with required codes inside the units of rentals. I'm not sure that's what it's referring to. So
or maybe vacant,
give me a little more information.
Does that have to do with the vacant dilapidated structures or?
Yeah, the foreclosure process I was talking about refers mainly to vacant and neglected structures.
Okay.
And basically owners have abandoned their properties and not necessarily occupied properties, rental properties or anything like that.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Yolanda?
Pretty much. Thank you.
Okay. All right. InterGov, August 1st. Gee, I heard that last year, just about this time.
Yeah, well, I hope it's a go. We're ready for it.
What's the problem, Lori?
A significant amount of training.
I
just think because there are so many processes involved with the new software, you know, whereas code enforcement, like maybe one or two, you have planning and development services, who's the lead agency. And they, I think they have like 100 different processes, you know, ones that include, you know, calculations and I'm just generalizing, but I think there's issues with that. Everything's got to work correctly. We've done some testing and they're working with the company, Tyler. So Tyler with the contract has some responsibilities and that's really as much as I know.
Okay.
So by the 1st of August, you hope that it'll be running smoothly and that people can access it from outside the city?
Yes, fingers crossed. Okay.
And are you guys getting all new computers?
Well, we have, the inspectors have relatively new laptops. So those should work just fine. Out in the field, especially since InterGov is going to be internet-based, you know, it should work as fast as their internet connection can handle. Because right now they can access Print Plus, but it's an old system and it can be kind of clunky in the field.
Okay.
That's why I'm hoping InterGov gets going.
Sure, I understand that.
Oh, I was going to ask you another question too about the absentee landlords. Are the frequent offenders going straight? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I mean, are they going citation? Going straight to citation?
Yes. You know, processes, you know, any frequent offender, you know, during a certain time frame, we can go straight to citation. And I think anytime, in our opinion, that someone should be cited immediately, we can do that. We don't actually have to issue a notice of violation as a courtesy notice. In some cases, it's required, like for vacant and neglected structures, or when we need to do an abatement immediately. But other than that, we can write a ticket right away. So, you know, we weigh a lot of things, you know, take the inspector's opinion. And if the supervisor feels it's necessary, we do that too.
Okay.
Lori, how often does this occur? You said that they're repeated offenders. Do you have like a list of landlords that are a problem?
I don't. You know, but if you did have a question on whether one was or how often we see that, you know, of course, you know, miss job all the time, you kind of get to know people that, you know, on different properties are frequent offenders, maybe not from the same property, but, you know, and, you know, take for example, like MS properties, it's not necessarily a landlord, but there's frequent work without permits on that. So maybe I had a specific question about somebody, I could answer that.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Let's go back to Pat. I see that he's in the conference room now. Is that working better, Pat?
Oh, hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yay. Hi, I'm Pat Toppy with Environmental Services. Nice to meet you all.
Never seen you before in my life.
It's been so long. It's been like, holy cow, you know.
I know.
We have to reintroduce ourselves all over again here. Hopefully next month we can meet in person if you guys are all inclined to doing so. But we'd be more than happy to meet in person if you would like to do so. So we're going to do it on Zoom. I'll leave that up to you all. But yeah, so it's working. Thank you, Brittany. Brittany also wanted to let me know that she put in the link in the chat box for the Zero Waste event, and Earth Day is in the chat as well.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Brittany. All right.
We were talking about the, I was giving
you the contract.
The MRF contract, right?
Yep.
So it's as far as the residue, we want to continue to examine that and negotiate with them because we feel the audit isn't being done correctly. And that's why we're paying such a large percentage on the residue side. It's like, they still haven't been able to give us a good explanation of how we went from 22% to all of a sudden 30%, and nothing has changed. We still collect. We haven't done anything different. So there hasn't been a real explanation for that. Our guesstimate is that they're running the conveyor belts faster, so more debris would be going through the debris pile instead of actually being processed. You know, that's our gut feeling. But when we do the audit actually breaks it all down where they can measure everything and test it. So either we were doing it wrong before, which is a possibility that we're giving bad numbers, but we can't find a good explanation as to why it is has changed so much. So we want to redo the process with them. So put in this agreement that they redo the audit and that they draw out a good plan on how we're going to be doing the audits going forward. The other thing I was talking about is that we have about 5 years left on the contract with Republic. So this new amendment, we want to make it stick for the next 5 years. We've been changing it every 2 or 3 or 4 years, just trying to make a change depending on how the times are going. We really want to put this and say, you know what, this is going to be a next 5 year agreement. Unless something really drastic happens, we're going to stick to this to the end of the 5 years.
Okay.
But also in this agreement, we want to make it, what I was trying to mention earlier, is that it's beneficial for both parties. So it feels like a real partnership. I think this, when this first program started out, we felt it was a partnership. The city of Tucson was getting its fair deal as far as what the commodity rates were being at the time. And then we were getting our fair share of revenue. We understand there was a sword issue that went on that they needed our support to get past the trying times. And we adjusted our payments to help them through that times. Well, we think with the market restabilizing and getting back to the market prices that we were getting, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we haven't seen an adjustment back to where we were before. Mm-hmm. So that's concerning for me, and I think for staff, that why are we continuing to down this path of losing on the profit share, and why we're not back to where we were before as far as getting a better value for our commodity.
Certainly the values have gone up. I mean, you look at aluminum, it's just amazing. and the plastics, even though they've dropped down from their high, they're still doing pretty well. And even as the paper, when you look at the amount of paper that's being sold, the old cardboard. So
yeah, where would we be today if the sword issue didn't come into place and we couldn't ship overseas and everything would have stayed status quo? I bet we would still be getting these checks for $200,000-$300,000, you know, or $1 million a year, because nothing would have changed. But now that we went the other direction, it's hard to say, come back to the table and say, wait a minute, you know, let's get back to where we were before. And I really think we need to. I don't think they're going to be in favor of that. I'm sure they're going to put up every reason why not to. And that's where we're trying to figure out, you know, the sustainable campus of the landfill. You know, what are we going to do in the next 5 years? And the next 2 years are going to be critical as to what our decision is going to be, as to what our recycling program is going to look like at the end of this contract. And where is that recycled material going to go?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what you have, of course, is the option of abandoning that plant and starting your own plant, or starting the city's own plant. And I think the fact that there's a space put there in the sustainability campus should put them on some sort of notice that you're certainly thinking about it, that we're certainly thinking about that happening. You know, also, as you say, where those products, the for sale, the saleables are going to go. It's interesting to talk to people about what Tucson is thinking about and the approach that they're looking at with, you know, plastics going into those blocks and the glass staying here and other things. So,
right,
they should be paying attention. I think they'd be pretty foolish to just put up a real roadblock, because they risk losing everything. And it does take us several years. I mean, I remember going through the building of this particular plant with Frank when he was in charge of that. So it does take much longer than you think it's going to take.
It does. That's why we think in the next 2 years, if we have 5 years left, I think we want to have that decision made in the next 2 years.
Yep. I think that's definitely the right approach to take. So...
glass was a nice little segue into the next one, which is a glass. So we are continuing to collect the glass. It's still coming in fairly clean. You know, it's very low contamination. We're working with, what's the name of the recycle plant? MSI? Christina, help me out there. What's the name of the company?
I think it was MSI. I remember from before.
MSW. Right?
The glass plant.
The glass plant?
Oh. SMI. Strategic SMI. Materials.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Materials. Yeah. So SMI has been coming and picking up loads. They haven't been able to come out lately because they're having, same like everyone else, is having staffing issues. So they don't have the operators to be able to come down. I think that's a portion of that. And I think the fuel price is having an impact of coming over the road. I mean, right now, just to think about it, a semi is costing about $1,000 just to fill it up. So it's pretty expensive, you know, at almost $6 a gallon for diesel, you know, it's pretty expensive. And in those trucks, you're probably lucky to get 3 or 4 miles a gallon. So when you think about it, it's pretty pricey. I think that has a little bit of a play in it. But they did call and say, due to staffing issues, that they haven't been able to come down and pick up glass. They've taken about 11 loads out already. We are waiting for them to bring back one load of the crush material, because that's the agreement we have with right now, is that they give us $5 for every ton that they take out of here. And then they actually bring us back also after the 10 loads, they bring us one load of crushed glass that we can use for sandbags, pipe bedding, cement, if we choose to do it with that. So they'll bring us back material that we can utilize.
So the crusher's not working then?
You know what, for the size of equipment that we got, the volume is just too high that we're bringing in, that piece of equipment that we purchased can't handle the volume coming in. We would have to have bought probably a piece of equipment that was able to hand, you know, at least 10 to 15 tons an hour, which would have probably cost closer to $150,000 to $200,000 to get that piece of equipment in. And at that time, we didn't. I think time of essence, they wanted us to get a piece of equipment in right away So we went with the equipment that we could get or was available at the time, which was, it's now it can be underutilized because the machine that we have can crush maybe, you know, 2 to 5 tons per hour. Well, there's no way we could keep up with that. And not only that, that's just a part of it. Part of it is the city, we're so understaffed at the landfill as well. Doing the composting, doing the glass, the daily operation when tons are up, we're now accepting close to 2,500 tons a day when we collect 2,000 tons a day. So our tonnages are up. And I think we're unfortunately suffering that same battle as everybody on staffing shortages.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question regarding the equipment that the city did invest in.
Yes.
I was told that it's not capable, it broke because people weren't taking their metal caps and their, what goes around the wine bottles and whatnot.
The foil? So that's,
well, it's not really foil. Foil's a little bit softer. This is like metal
that you have to. Where they're caps as opposed to corks.
Yeah, right. I don't know where it came out that it's broke. I don't think it's broke. What it does, it gets wedged in there, and you have to remove the motor out there. So it's pretty time consuming because it's not. It gets wedged in there, but the machine isn't broke. It's actually operational. It really slows down the process because this size of equipment won't put the metals through like the larger piece of equipment would.
Okay, so that's one part of my question. The other question is, I'm still trying to catch up on what you're saying as far as we are outsourcing the crushing now, and we're only getting back $5 per ton. What is it costing us to outsource?
We're not outsourcing the crushing. SMI is coming and picking up the truckloads of the full glass, the glass pile.
Okay, they're picking it up and then...
They're taking it to Phoenix, where they actually process it and they separate it and reuse it, return into glass. They're recycling the glass. That's what SMI does.
Okay, so how are we getting the sand then, the crushed glass?
Because they crush it. They have the large piece of equipment to be able to do this.
Okay, but they're recycling the glass by making new bottles is what I'm hearing. But yeah. I'm also hearing you saying that they're crushing them and bringing back the sand to us.
Yes. So when they crush it down, they can actually create new glass, but they can also send us a load of that material that we can use for the sand bedding.
So it's not costing us anything. We're making $5 a ton is what you're saying?
Yes. That's
good. Okay.
It's a benefit. And that's the concern that we had with Republic. Because they were always telling us that it was a zero value commodity. But actually in dealing directly with the processor, they're saying, no, there is actually a benefit to the glass. So yeah, we're not gonna be, you know, coming rich off of this thing, but we're not paying the processor. We're not even paying for the shipping. They come pick it up, they give us $5 per ton, and then we get a load of crushed glass back. So we're actually doing better than we were before when we were taking it to Republic.
And the other thing, I don't know if Pat mentioned, when we made the decision to take the glass out, that kind of brought out SMI and people that want the glass, and we, you know, they've come to us, and that's been a really good thing. But the other thing, and I know Steve Kozacik has brought this up, Owens Corning is reopening their manufacturing plant in Eloy, and they really want the glass and they need it. I think, and so they're actually getting the glass from SMI for what their needs are. It would be difficult for us to sell it to them ourselves, because we do not have the ability to sort it by color, which is what they need.
So I'm also hearing from a lot of people that they're not even recycling. They're just putting everything in the trash, especially now that gas is so high. Are we seeing a downturn in the amount of tonnage that you're collecting at the recycle centers?
I haven't, because we don't collect, we don't get their trash. Their trash actually goes to waste management. But in talking to waste management, they say they are still recycling the glass because they still are collecting and have the agreement with waste management to take all their material. So I don't think they're taking it in the trash. I'd have a hard time believing that that was going to the trash. So I haven't heard that. So I don't know. I could ask, but I haven't heard that.
No, what I'm saying is my neighbors and others are not taking the time to take their glass to our little neighborhood recycling centers. They said it's not worth it to them. They just pitch it in their trash.
Oh. Yes.
And I've seen that. I mean, I hear it when the, you know, when they collect the trash, you can hear in their garbage can, all these bottles going into the trucks.
That is true. So anything, since we took it out of the blue bin program, it's ending up in our trash. The ones that choose not to take it to NRC, it is going in the garbage.
That's why I asked you, are we seeing a reduction in what we're collecting at the NRCs?
Oh, yes. Yes. So that glass has dropped, and that's a good thing because we were paying for every ton that was going across the scale, the tipping fee. So yes, that glass has dropped from the curbside.
that's the glass at the MRF.
Yes.
That has dropped. Has the glass recently dropped at the recycling centers because of the cost of gas to take it there?
No, we're still collecting pretty consistently 35 to 45 tons a week.
I had heard that you were thinking about collecting glass at bars. Is that still on the table?
It still is. And actually, that's kind of what Christina was mentioning too, that everyone's coming out of the woodworks. There's a company that has contacted us that they'd be willing to put up a program to go to some of the stores and set up a glass collection program.
And what would they do with it?
From what I understand, they want to take it back to Phoenix, correct, Christina? Is that what I did sit in that?
Yeah, they work closely with SMI. It's a company called Glass King, and they started this program in Phoenix, where they collect glass from bars and restaurants and hotels. The businesses pay them to collect it. And they received a grant from the Glass Packaging Institute last year, and they started this program in Chicago that's also doing very well. So they are going to be putting together a proposal for us where, you know, we'd like for them to hopefully be able to start and work with those businesses, particularly around the downtown and Fourth Avenue area.
So in other words, we would be outsourcing this because we don't have a staff person to do that work.
Well, you know, one of the other issues, I just had, you know, this training downtown at this one bar and restaurant, and they asked about the glass because, there's no room to put bins. And also our trucks don't really fit in a lot of those spaces. So it's been really difficult for us to do recycling in the downtown and Fourth Avenue area because the space is really limited.
Well, and a lot of what we talked about too was to reduce emissions, but what I'm hearing now is we are increasing emissions.
From what?
From the extra.
Yeah, from all the extra collection sites and going to Phoenix and going to Coolidge and all those other places.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you how much more greenhouse gas we're doing on that. I guess you're looking at a smaller vehicle. I don't know if that's a plus or minus on that side of it. I really don't. I couldn't tell you. I know the glass that we were collecting and taking to the MRF, they would still be shipping it. I think the goal for the greenhouse gas was to basically get the piece of equipment or size of equipment that we'd be able to crush it ourselves I think was the big picture goal on there. Unfortunately, you know, that's difficult to do, not having manpower or the right piece of equipment. I wouldn't say that's completely out of the picture. I just don't know what it's going to look like in the next year or so with what this agreement's going to do with Republic.
So let's go back to the trucks a minute. How is their material getting picked up now? Why are you saying there's not enough room for their, the recycling truck looks no different than the garbage collection truck. I mean, they're front loaders.
Yeah, and unfortunately the businesses don't have room, so they want to use the small either containers like the 95s. So that's a whole different truck that we'd have to send over there to pick up so many containers. And it's, you know, setting a large truck to go and pick up 10 or 15 containers. That's why we're not even going up and picking up the food waste right now. You know, we contract that out to a much smaller truck that can actually handle that than sending a large, you know, like Yolanda's kind of referring to that greenhouse gas. Why would we send this large piece of diesel running equipment when we could send a smaller truck, you know, because the density and the volume just isn't there to fill up a large refuse truck. And the same would happen with glass. You know, you go pick up 20 bins and you have to drive all the way to the landfill. It's probably better that we actually have somebody come with a smaller vehicle, collect it, and take it to Phoenix where they can actually crush it and do what they're going to do with it.
So a smaller truck helped me understand size. I mean, the garbage truck, we all know the size of. A smaller truck you're talking about is like a van, is like, it's not a pickup truck. It's bigger than a pickup truck.
Yeah, probably a little bit bigger than a van. So when you talk a refuse truck, I'm used to talking in yards. So a garbage truck is like a 30-yard truck. You know, it's like 30 yards, that big box. If you're, these trucks that come and can pick that up are like 10-yarders. Okay. So it's a much smaller unit.
What would they have, the mechanical arm, would they be humans pick up and put the bins into the
that I don't know. You can actually, they have the attachments for a mechanical arm on those. I don't know if they choose to do it. I haven't seen how her operation runs, so that's something we'd have to see how they do, what they're going to offer.
And then you have to factor in the price of gas.
Yeah. Speaking of the price of gas, oh, here's some pictures from dumpsters. That's a 40-yard dumpster. Rear loaders. Do you have any that are the 10 yards, cubic yards? 8.
Yeah, 8 yard. You can see much smaller.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that one can get amongst, that can get around the downtown okay.
A lot easier. Burns a lot of fuel.
That one looks like people dump it in and then it compacts it.
Yeah. A little different driving a Volkswagen compared to a Suburban.
Okay. Thank you, Brittany. Boy, you're right on the.
Brittany, that was pretty fast. Thank you.
Yes, that's amazing. but I was going to go back to the cost of gas. What's happening to the budget of the, that must be the big 30 yard.
That's a 40 yard front load.
That's okay. A 40 yard. Okay. Yeah, it's got.
You can see the difference running that to go pick up, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 bins.
Yeah, no, that does.
Not very efficient.
You can see all the wheels it has. How is the price of gas impacting the budget?
You know, we're discussing that right now, what that impact is going to be. It's going to be a bigger impact on the citywide. We're really fortunate that we switched to CNG. We're not, you know, we're almost, I'd say as a department, residential is 100% CNG, and we're probably about 75% with commercial division. So ours is going to be very minimal as far as the impact that we're going to see on the increase. So knock on wood that we switch to compressed natural gas when we did, that we're not seeing that impact. But the rest of the city departments, yeah, it's taking a pretty big, you know, budget hit as far as increases for next year.
Yeah, because I was remembering when we put in the surcharge to handle that, the gas going up. And so I gather we don't even need to talk about that at all at this time.
We did this morning. We brought that up, and it hasn't been an impact on our end to where we have to initiate the surcharge. Okay. One thing you did bring up that we do need to talk about is that something we basically forgot and didn't do was that our Chapter 15 and the surcharge is all based around liquid fuel. We never did do something in Chapter 15 to make an adjustment. Should that happen on compressed natural gas, we don't have anything in there. So we're probably going to probably have to make some a change on Chapter 15 to include that.
What's happened to CNG is it's running about the same, or?
Yeah, it's a very minimal. I think we've seen like a 5% increase, which is very minimal. I think normally we would be like at 95 cents and you're looking at $1.05. So very minimal.
Okay.
We are looking at, I know it's a big interest. I know it's getting off topic here, but e-trucks, just to give you an idea when you all talk about it, just the cost for equipment. A garbage truck right now, because I'm working with the city of Phoenix, I've been talking to my counterpart in Florida. They bought two trucks last year and they seem to be working okay. The city of Phoenix just got a quote to order a new truck. I'm also going to jump on that and get the quote, but the quote, just to give you an idea, came in at $675,000 a truck. And right now we're paying $400,000 for a truck.
So big change.
So the increase that you're seeing on the vehicle or the equipment on e-vehicles isn't the body, because the body's staying the same. It's all on the chassis. The chassis is doubling in price because of the battery.
Well, and then are you going to get the same kind of distance, and then you have the cost of adding more charging areas? I mean, we have to look at the bigger picture, not just the cost of the truck.
Yep. The infrastructure alone is going to be just a huge increase as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're exactly right, Yolanda. When you look at the big picture, now I have to worry about mechanics that can work on a diesel truck, CNG truck, and now an electric truck. So I think to be honest with you, as far as the refuse side, I think we're it's down the road as far as electric truck. That's I need to be the first ones in that. As far as the sedans, I think we could probably, you know, work on that. That's going to be a much easier process than the refuse trucks.
And or the little pickups.
A couple meetings ago, I asked what the life expectancy was of the e-trucks, and nobody has gotten back to me on that.
Nobody knows. We haven't had them long enough to tell you that.
Then you can at least share that. Or what is the... when you buy one, what does the dealer say the lifetime expectancy is?
Well, they you know, it's like normal. The body wear and tear is going to be 6, 7, 10 years. They're telling us the battery life on those are going to be 30 years. So right away, I'm like, okay, that does me a lot of good. I got a battery for 30 years, but I got a truck that still lasts 6, 7 to 10 years. What do I do with that battery that's still good for another 20 years?
And how do you dispose of that battery safely?
Very good question. All questions we're asking them to, you know, we want to know from cradle to grave what's going to happen with these batteries.
Yeah. And I know from the Prius and others that you can redo sections of the batteries. And so I'm really surprised at the 30 years because, of course, originally they said 1 to 2 years and now they've stretched out 5 to 10. But yeah. 30 years sounds excessive. I must say I'm shocked, a bit shocked at that number.
Just means that they want to sell it no matter what the truth is. Sorry.
These are big batteries.
They are big batteries.
Those are huge. Yeah.
Christina, so long. Off you go. Okay. Well, that's, yeah, we. Future.
Well, what I did want to say on that, think of the future of you guys are kind of touching on that. You know, right now I have an outlet for selling. We don't get very much. I mean, we sell the trucks. At least we can surplus our units. I think when you get to electric trucks down the road, who's going to buy those units? Because who's going to have the infrastructure to be able to handle that? You know, unless everyone's doing it. Right now, you have CNG plants. You got diesel so much easier if you're going to sell the unit, you know, because they can still fuel up. So I'm not sure when the end of the life on that equipment, what are we going to do with them?
No, of course, it's a while still. So, yeah. You know, yeah. It could be some big changes, but I'm glad that that's part of the consideration.
Interesting discussions, though. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Well, when I sat in at the last Commission on Climate and Energy or Sustainability meeting, they all go, oh, yeah, you know, the city of Tucson has to go all electric. and I don't know if they understand how expensive that is.
Yeah.
Well,
so now I'll know how much a truck
costs. Well, and the infrastructure, which is also just as important. I mean, of course, I mean, that's what Biden is doing, is putting a big push on getting charging stations so that people will buy the vehicles, because that is an issue. I just was with my son and his girlfriend, and she has a Tesla, and you know, they have to find places to stop, you know, on the way up to go charge. And then she was getting ready to go, when they were going to leave, she had to run off to the charging station for 20 minutes to get a charge. I mean, it's no different than a gas station, but you have to know where they are, and there are certainly not as many of them as there are gasoline stations, even in California. So,
yeah, you're right.
And well, they're pushing it.
How long does it take to charge a system like that? I don't know.
Well, she said in 20 minutes she got enough to, you know, give her the boost that she needed to make it all the way back. Okay. So, and it does have the self-charging as part of it. So they're going downhill from the mountains. So they would be building up recharging as it went, like the Prius does. So I had never heard directly whether it had that recharging feature in the Tesla, but it does. So speaking of CNG, any more news about what's happening to the methane gas at the landfill that we're flaring?
No, we're still working on it. They're working on the contract and the agreement on that.
Okay.
I think Carlos could probably give a better update at the full ESAC.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And is and who is the person that's working on that?
Mike Candelaro and Carlos and Frank.
Okay. All right.
If are we going to go to future agenda?
Well, I was just thinking, we've kind of broadened collections because we didn't have anything about trucks, and I assume there are no more tire issues, and that the general services is not charging us three arms and a leg for fixing our trucks. And Pat, what can you tell us?
All that seems to be working fine. I think bringing it in-house was a big plus, you know, so that's been a benefit. Working closely with fleet. I say, if you want to look at future agendas, I would probably talk about routing. We're going to be doing some rerouting a little bit as far as our collection groups and how we do that. I'll put routing on there.
Pat, can you also add some of the items that I had, the concerns that I sent you a list of?
Yes. I'll make sure we can put those on there as well.
Okay, because I'm really concerned about those food vendors popping up everywhere, not taking things down. We're still experiencing a lot of contamination in our recyclables. Just driving around, I'm seeing trash bags in our blue bins. Some of those food vendors are also putting their trash in the blue bins because they're working out of their house pretty much. And then the safety issues that I brought up.
Sure.
So are they still tagging for people that aren't doing it right?
No, what's happened to the final report? Christina's gone, but
we can put that on the
report for next week. Or
okay.
Next. Okay.
The final report for that study. I'm not sure we ever saw it.
Yeah. That, and actually put down landfill. I'll give you guys a little brief update on how we're doing at the landfill. You know, we don't talk too much about the landfill.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to be engineering, but they're not functioning, so.
Oh, yeah. That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
It's okay. I don't mind talking about it. We can't talk about Bruno, but we can talk about the landfill.
Okay. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, Lori, could we get an update on the IAPC progress?
Yes.
Because it sure seems slow. I mean, I can't even hardly listen to those meetings anymore because I'm just so frustrated. So it's like I just want to buzz in and say to tell them to get her done.
Guess what meeting
are
you having?
Huh?
What meeting was that?
The internal audit that's being done for code enforcement. It just keeps going on and on and on. So the code enforcement needs it to be done like last year.
Can I talk to about it, or is this for next meeting?
We should do a next meeting.
Next one, I think. Yeah.
Brittany will start
All right.
breaking in and telling us we're off schedule.
Well, you guys want to go home anyway, so. But.
Okay. All right. Anything else? We've got quite a good list here. Of course, the usual things of the MRF reports. And public outreach, all the things, if the Speakers Bureau is opening up again, the talks that Christina is doing, and collections. And
can we add homeless protocol again? Because I think we're reading a lot about that, those popping up everywhere.
Okay.
That's mostly... what, TPD and code enforcement, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and then the cleanup people afterwards. I mean, I guess that's what.
Yeah, that's a yes.
So what we could do is we could share. I don't know if you've seen the homeless camp protocol. There is a protocol. You can look at it online. So basically, at our end, you know, code enforcement gets involved somewhat on that, but our cleanups, you know. Our guys are out collecting, transportation collects, whoever needs to do the cleanup. But yeah, we can discuss what we can on it. Sure.
Okay. Update your section and as things are going on. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Thanks, Pat, for filling in lots of good things. Anybody in the audience? We had somebody on the telephone for a while. Who was our telephone person? I didn't know who it was. I didn't see him. A name.
I think that was Brittany.
Oh, you think Brittany was on the phone and on her?
She had to use her phone because she was having a hard time with her computer. Was broke.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha.
All right.
All right. Good to see you
guys. Thank you very much. Nice to see you. See you on next week.
Yeah, I don't know about going in person quite yet.
Okay.
I want to get my fourth booster. So there's a new one coming around, so.
And it's catching people.
And it's catching people.
Yeah, my brother just got sick, who's extremely, extremely careful and is vaccinated and boosted and everything, and he just got it, so.
Okay, I'm going to sign off. I got to go. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah.
Good to see you.
Besides, we're a smaller carbon footprint if we meet online.
We are.
We could have happy hours.
Okie doke. Good to see you all.
Right. Well, that wasn't the shot you were referring to.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.